Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Nun Ches. We are on the very top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. We're starting this morning with the words of Shmuel Amar. We are going back to the Mishnah, and we're trying to give definition to the Mishnah. We started yesterday. The sixth parak of the Masecht of the parak is dedicated to the topic of what kind of accessories and jewelry can a woman wear on Shabbos going outside of her house, and what she cannot wear. And over here, as we highlighted yesterday, but let's just quickly review today. In terms of the differentiation between that which a woman can go out and that which she cannot go out, so it's not really going to be a question of what is jewelry and what is not jewelry. Everything that we're describing over here is jewelry. It just happens to be that the Chachamim made gzera, that if she goes out with various types of jewelry, so the concern is going to be that while she's outside in the Rishus HaRabim, she's going to take them off, and she'll be walking Dal Amas Rishus HaRabim. So, and as Tosus pointed out yesterday, it's really a critical Tosus, and we did it yesterday, but let's just quickly review it again. So Tosus pointed out yesterday, what's going to motivate a woman to take off certain pieces of jewelry? So Tosus points out that first and foremost, as a overarching idea throughout this perek, it can't be something which is an ikar malbush, something which is essentially clothing. So clothing a woman is not going to be taking off under any circumstances, and if it has the status of being an ikar malbush, obviously it doesn't fall under this gzera. But even if it's as jewelry, and even as something which is accessory, so a woman's not going to take off everything. There's going to be something that's going to motivate her to take it off. What would that be? So Tosus basically comes up with three different categories in terms of what motivates a woman to take off a certain article of clothing. One, Tosus says, this is Tosus, the first Tosus in the parak that we saw yesterday on Nizayin Amud Aleph. So one Tosus says, is laharosan, to show them off. In other words, it happens to be a beautiful piece of jewelry, and she is going to be tempted to want to demonstrate it and display it to other people. Hey, you want a closer look? Sure. And she takes it off and she shows it to somebody else. And while it's off of her body, so then she may, absentmindedly, carry it dal ams b'rishus harabim, and that's one motivation. The second one, says Tosos, chatzitza, meaning the way that this accessory happens to be worn is that it would pose a chatzitza if she goes to the mikvah. In other words, women go to the mikvah during the weekend on Friday night as well. And as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, if the opportunity comes up where she's going to be going to the mikvah on Friday night, and she's wearing this item that is a chatzitza, so she's going to have to undo it in order to go into the mikvah, and she may forget and not put it back on and carry it for Amos and Rishus HaRabim. That's the second category. So Tosus and the third Tosus describes as being a gzera. I'm sorry, kepeda. Kepeda means that a woman is just simply going to be conscientious about wearing such a thing in public, and she sees somebody else, and she's going to be conscientious about it, and she'll want to take it off. Okay, and we'll see examples of what falls under this category of kepeda later in the parak. But anyway, these are the three different reasons why a woman would be tempted, and what the Chachamim had in mind when highlighting which jewelry she can wear and which she cannot. So these we have to figure out, when the Chachamim said they can't go out with these items, which of these three did the Chachamim put in? Which category do they belong in terms of why does the Chachamim ban wearing of this jewelry? Good, that's what we did yesterday. We opened up with the Mishnah. And again, as I pointed out yesterday, but just to reiterate, the challenge of this parak is going to be that times have changed, cultures have changed, dresses changed. And so much of what the Mishnah is describing and what the Gemara is describing is just simply not within our day-to-day accessories and wearing. And so therefore, we're just going to try our best to come up with some sort of imagery of what these items are. Okay, so in yesterday's Mishnah, we talked extensively, and in yesterday's Gemara, we talked extensively about the first items in the Mishnah. The things that the women tie into their hair, chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, ritzuos, so they're tying it into their hair, and the Mishnah says that those are things that they cannot go out with on Shabbos, and the Mishnah was very clear. That's a chatzitza issue, as we already discussed extensively yesterday. Women can also not go out with totafos and sarvitim, so we described that yesterday, we explained that yesterday. And the woman cannot go out with a kavul. Okay, and this is what we're up to right now. So a woman cannot go out with a kavul. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, but let's just, again, just to refresh and reiterate, the kavul, said the Mishnah, they can't go out into the Rishus HaRabim, but they're allowed to go out into the chatzer. So the kavul is some sort of ornamental item, accessory item, where they are allowed to wear into the chatzer. Now, as Rashi pointed out yesterday in the Mishnah, that all the other items mentioned in the Mishnah, when the Chachamim banned them from wearing them, they cannot wear it outside the house. Even if they're in the chatzar, they can't wear it. And the kavul, the Chachamim gave a small dispensation that even though the kavul fits under this category of they shouldn't be going out with the kavul, but nevertheless, there is an allowance for them to wear it within the chatzar. Rashi explains, as will the Gemara later on, Rashi gets it from the Gemara later on, that the reason why this small allowance is given is because if a woman is not going to be able to wear any jewelry whatsoever, so there is her self-esteem to be concerned about. And the fact of the matter is that she'll feel that her husband will not find her to be attractive. And so therefore, there is a small allowance where this kavul could be worn within the chatzar. Okay, that was Rashi yesterday in the Mishnah. And the simple question, which we're trying to wrap our heads around, is the kavul being described in the Mishnah, which a woman cannot go out with. What exactly is the kavul? So again, for the writer of the Mishnah, he clearly knew, but even in Bizman HaGemara, there was uncertainty in terms of what the kavul was, and we saw yesterday one viewpoint. Yesterday we went through the viewpoint of Rabbi Abau. Rabbi Abau says that it's kippah shel tzemer. It's a wool cap. A woman wore a hat on her head to cover her hair, and the general hat that was described, I'm calling it a hat, everyone here understands, I'm just using modern terminology. I don't know what it was exactly that they covered their hair with, but anyway, it's a svacha. The Gemara describes it as a svacha. Even within the hat, so there were accessories that were worn under the hat, and there were accessories worn over the hat. The hat was just one part of their head covering mode. And so that which was worn under the hat is what's called a kippah, kippah shel tzemer. It was a wool cap. So the wool cap was worn under the svacha. Okay, so this is the various layering. So this is the way Rabbi Abau understood what the word kavul means. Kavul is a description of the wool cap that's worn under the svacha. And according to Rabbi Abau, she can't go out with this wool cap. And not totally clear in the Gemara yesterday, but presumably the reason why is because she's going to take it off, she's going to show it to others. Presumably that's the reason why it is that the Chachamim banned it. Although we saw yesterday, there are Tanaim who do not ban it. In other words, Rabbi Shimon and Elazar, we saw on the bottom of the Amud in yesterday's daf, said that a woman can go out with this kippah shel tzemer. It's underneath the svacha. It's underneath her main head covering. And if she's going to have to show her wool cap to somebody, so that would run the risk of her having to take off the svacha as well and show her hair in public, and she wouldn't do that. And so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is of the opinion that she is allowed to go out. But the Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that she's not. And according to Rabbi Abahu, what the kavul is being described as is the kippah shel tzemer. That is one pshat, which we entertained yesterday. The Gemara now is going to go over another pshat. So as we are now starting on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, so now we're going to be going over a second possibility of what the kavul is. Ushmul amar kavla da'avda tana. Shmuel is of the opinion that the kavul is a reference to kavla da'avda. And basically what it is some sort of patch that you wear in order to identify that you are an Eved. So presumably we're talking about Nevekanani over here, but regardless, whether talking about Nevekanani and Eved Ivri, so it's some sort of patch that's worn that identifies that you're an Eved. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that you are not allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. This is Shmuel's opinion. The Gemara entertained this yesterday, but the Gemara says that the Gemara is clearly pitting Shmuel against Rabbi Abau that we saw yesterday. So this now represents our second shot of what the kavul is. And the Gemara now seeks to clarify what exactly is Shmuel's position. Umir Amar Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really say this? V'amar Shmuel Yosei Eved B'chosam Shebet Tzavarel. Shmuel's of the opinion that an Eved can go out with a chosam around his neck. Now this chosam also is some sort of badge, some sort of label identifying who they are. Worn around the neck. Worn around the neck basically was a necklace, and on the end of the necklace, so there's a badge, right? Modern employment has a system where if you're working within a company, within a school, so you wear a badge, and it's around your neck, and it identifies that you are now an employee. So back in the day, so Shmuel says that it could be worn. Now, note the discrepancy we have over here, because Shmuel says you're allowed to wear it. The Eved is allowed to wear the Chosam Shabbat Savaro. He's allowed to wear this badge around his neck. But he's not allowed to wear a badge that is tied into his clothing. Okay, and we're going to make a distinction between the two, why there's a difference between the two in just a moment. But what we have over here is a discrepancy between Shmuel and the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to go out with, and again, according to Shmuel, we're talking about the badge. You're not allowed to go out with the badge according to the Mishnah. And Shmuel himself says that you are allowed to wear a badge as long as it's worn around the neck. So the Gemara's response is, Lokasha hada avet le rabbe hada avet iul nafshe. So the Gemara says that the way we're going to resolve Shmuel is that there are badges that are made by your employer, and there are badges that you yourself make. And that's going to be the difference in terms of whether you can or you cannot go out with it. And Rashi explains as follows. Rashi is the fourth line down. The Avile Rabbe is le a masa. Velo shako le mitzavere laholicha biyado. So as Rashi explains over here, what is going on is that if your employer made it for you, or in the case of the Gemara, if your master made it for you, so that now you realize that this is something that your master is expecting you to wear, and obviously it would not occur to you to take it off. In other words, you know that the fear of your master is upon you at all times, and you take it off, you're going to be in trouble. So if your master made it for you, and you're wearing it because your master made it for you, so there's no concern that the person's ever going to take it off. On the other hand, if you're making a badge for yourself, and obviously it's a little curious why it is that a person would be making a badge for himself, but let's just assume that there are some benefits to being in this position, albeit minimum, but if a person made it for themselves, so then there's a chance that he's going to be tempted to take it off and carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, fine, but my kim to lahajishmol da avalei rabbe. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we almost are clear, but there's obviously a sticking point. Meaning Shmuel, when he says that you are allowed to go out with a badge on Shabbos, he was describing the badge that was made for you by your master. So the Gemara says, if that's true, b'chosim shebiksusu on my low. So the Gemara says, well, if the badge now is on your clothing, what's the difference? Meaning just like we just got done saying that the badge worn around your neck, if it's made to you by your master, you wouldn't be taking it off. So the same thing is true if the badge is on your clothing. You wouldn't want to take it off. You wouldn't want your master to get upset with you. So the Gemara says that's true, but there's another consideration as well. Dilma mistik umirtach umikbale umachesle akatfe. So the Gemara says what's going to happen in the case where the badge is worn on your clothing is that, let's say, for example, it gets torn, and now the clothing is without the badge. Now, you're going to be totally embarrassed, meaning your master expects you to see you with your clothing on, with a badge on it. And now if it tears off, you're going to be very embarrassed. So what do you do to cover up? So what you'll do is you'll take off the coat. Obviously, there's clothing underneath. You'll take off the coat. You'll fold the coat over, and you put it on your shoulder. And that way, you're covering the fact that there's no badge on the clothing. Now, on Shabbos, that presents a significant problem. In fact, not only a significant problem, that is a violation of Shabbos. If you are wearing clothing, that is mutar lagamrei. If you're carrying clothing, that's a chilul Shabbos. That's a malacha avodah. And the Gemara just simply spells this out. Kid Rav Yosef bar Yosef, Dam Rav Yosef bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Yosef betalas mekupelas munechas lo ktefav b'Shabbos chayiv chatas. A person who takes any kind of cloak, folded over, and put on his shoulder, meaning he's carrying the clothing, he's chayiv a karban chatas. You're not wearing the clothing, you're carrying the clothing. And that would be a malacha d'oraisa of hotza'ah. So here too, if the badge were to tear off of the clothing, and now you're embarrassed, so what you're going to do now is take off the coat, fold it over, and carry it to cover up the fact that there's no badge on it, so that would be Chol Shabbos and Malacha D'Araisa. Okay, so what we have now done is that we have clarified the sheet of Shmuel, and basically, let's just organize the information. It goes like this. In the event that, for whatever reason, the Evan made the badge for himself, so now there's a chance that he's simply going to take it off at any point in time. He was not imposed to wear this badge, he just simply made it for himself. And so therefore, that was what the Mishnah was describing. And as a result of that, one is not allowed to go out with that badge on Shabbos because of the concern, the fear, that he's going to take it off, carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. Shmuel, on the other hand, who says that if you're wearing the badge around your neck, you're allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. That's if you were instructed to wear the badge by your master. You will not be tempted to take off that badge. You do not want to be in the bad graces of your master. On the other hand, if the badge is sewn into the clothing, even if it was made to you by your master, so there, because of the concern that maybe it's going to tear off, and then you're going to want to cover it up by taking off the coat and carrying the coat, so there, the Chachamim made the gzera that you're not allowed to go out with a coat that has a badge sewn into it for the concern that we just articulated. This is all the way Shmuel understands it. And the Gemara just simply has a small follow-up to this discussion. Shmuel said the following to Rav Chinana, as far as the students, the rabbis of the Reish Galusa, who were subservient to the Reish Galusa, so they cannot go out with a Sarva Lechasini. It was some sort of coat that had the emblem that they were associated, subservient to the Reish Galusa. And again, what Shmuel was concerned of is what we just described, that the emblem was stitched into the coat. It may get torn, it may fall off. And now what the students are going to do is that they're going to take off the coat and carry the coat and violate the Issur D'oraisa of Hotzah. And just within this, Shmuel also has one point, Labar Minach, with exception to you. Meaning as he's talking to Rav Chinana, he says to Rav Chinana, the students, they can't go out with it on Shabbos, but you can. Why? The lo kapti alecha debei Resh Galusa. Because Resh Galusa is not going to be that upset with you. Meaning, in the event that for whatever reason, the badge is not on your garment, the Resh Galusa will give you a pass. And so therefore, for you, there would not be a problem of taking it out and carrying it out. Admittedly, that's difficult to understand. Meaning, once there's a gzera de Rabbanan, so generally speaking, we say lo plug Rabbanan. The rabbis don't make any kind of differentiation between just different types of people. And generally speaking, there's a uniformity in terms of the gzera de Rabbanan. So admittedly, I am a little bit lacking in understanding in terms of how Shmuel can make this distinction between Rav Chanina, who is in the good grace of the Resh Galusa, as opposed to the students. If once there's a gzera de Rabbanan, it should apply across the board. Okay, that's just simply my deficiency of understanding. Gufa Amar Shmuel, the Gemara now is going to go back. Yosei Avre Bechosim Shebetzara Velo Bechosim Shebeksusa. So going back to that which Shmuel just taught us, that an Eved is allowed to go out with a badge around his neck, but not with a badge on his clothing, as we just got done explaining, Tanya Mihachi. And the Gemara is going to be quoting a Braisa that says exactly this point. The Braisa reads, Yosei Avre Bechosim Shebetzara Velo Bechosim Shebeksusa. Perfect. So we have the statement of Shmuel, we revisit it. We have the statement of the Braisa, which corroborates that, which exactly Shmuel says. The problem is going to be the next Braisa. Let's call it Braisa number two. Okay, same basic topic, totally different conclusion. Uriminu. The second Braisa reads as follows. Lo yetze avid b'chosim shebetzavaro v'lo b'chosim shebeksusa. So this Braisa says that an Eved is not allowed to go out, not with a badge around his neck, not with a badge sewn into his clothing. Zevizei mekablam tuma. Now the badge itself is not going to be mekabel tuma. I'll come back to that momentarily. V'lo bezuk shebetzavaro, and not with a zug around his neck. Aval yosei hu bezuk shebeksuso, but you're allowed to go with a zug in your clothing. The zug over here is going to be basically for ornamental purposes, and can be worn around the neck, but not in your clothing. And the distinction we're going to making momentarily why that should be. Zev zeh mekablam tuma. Now it is in fact going to be mekabel tuma. V'lo seita behem lo bechosim shebetzavar v'lo bechosim shebeksusa. Now as far as an animal is concerned, an animal cannot go out with a badge, not around its neck, not around its clothing. V'lo bezug shebeksusa v'lo bezug shebetzavaro. And neither with the zug, not around its clothing, and not around its neck. V'zevizei mekabel tuma, and in both cases, they're not going to be mekabel tuma. Okay, so much to discuss within the second braisa, and just again, before we get involved in all the details, just remind ourselves that the reason why we brought in the second braisa is because it opposed the first braisa, and it also opposed Shmuel as well. And obviously, what we need to do is resolve the discrepancy between the first braisa and the second braisa. But for just a moment, let us take a look at the second braisa and go over a number of halachas that were stated in the second braisa, and let's gain clarity on some of the points in the second braisa. First of all, in the second braisa, we talked about how the badge is not mekabel tuma. The badge is not mekabel tuma. So Rashi over here says the reason why the badge is not mekabel tuma is because there's no category that it fits in order so that it is going to be mekabel tuma. What is mekabel tuma? A kli is going to be mekabel tuma. Clothing is going to be mekabel tuma. But this badge is none of the above. Rashi writes, Zevizei mekablam tuma. So Rashi, right alongside where we left off in the Gemara, the lavlanoi avid, she'ei tami mishum tachshit. So it is not decorative, so that it could qualify as some sort of accessory. V'afagab de b'shel matechas mokmin ala lahalakaman mi'u lavlanoi dilehu. Now, in a little bit later on, we're going to conclude that this badge happens to be made out of metal. But Rashi says, okay, that's fine, but it's still not decorative. It's just an identification marker. Ela lignai. And it's only there as something where you're not proud of, you're just wearing it because you're told to wear it. V'kli tashmish nami lo have. Now, it's also not a kli tashmish, meaning it doesn't have any utility towards it. A fork, a knife, a spoon, they have utility. So as a kli, it serves now as a kli. So this badge basically is none of the above. In other words, it's not a clothing. It's not an accessory to a clothing. It's not, doesn't have utility towards it. It's not a kli tashmish. So therefore, it's not mekabel tuma simply because it doesn't fit into any category that is going to be mekabel tuma. Okay, good. So that's why, says Rashi, the badge that's worn, in this case, it happens to be a metal badge. The badge that's worn is not going to be mekabel tuma. Now, in terms of the bells, that's the zug. The zug over here is a description of the bell. So the bells, so they made a distinction between a bell worn around the neck and a bell worn around the clothing. That we're going to, the Rashi points out, we're going to describe that later, explain that a little bit later. So we'll reserve a discussion for later in terms of making distinctions between the bell around the neck versus the bell around, the bell that's stitched into the clothing. And in terms of the animal, an animal cannot go out with a bell. So Rashi over here writes, and we saw this earlier as well, animals cannot go out with bells on Shabbos, and even if there's no clapper, even if the clapper is stuffed up, but if the animal's going out with a bell, you give off the impression that you're taking the animal to the marketplace, and this is a direct violation of Mara Sinai. So because of that perception, and giving the impression that you're going to be doing a commercial activity on Shabbos, so therefore the animal cannot go out with a bell, even if you have no intention whatsoever to go out to the marketplace. Okay, so just some details to iron out within the Braisa. We're going to spend the remainder of today really dealing with the second Braisa. But before zooming into that second Braisa, so now let's take a step back and let's just realize that. The first Braisa says that when the Evan goes out with his badge, so as long as he's wearing it around the neck, that's fine. But if he's wearing it on his clothing, he can't do that. The second Braisa says, regardless of whether it's worn around the neck or on the clothing, a Evan cannot go out with the badge. So lema, so now as we pick it up in the Gemara right where we left off, so now let's suggest hadav le rabbe, hadav iul nafshe. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we just go with the distinction that we already saw earlier in the daf, and that is it depends who made it for him. If his master made it for him, so he's not going to be tempted to take it off, but if he made it for himself, he would be tempted to take it off. So the Gemara says, lo. The Gemara says, no. Hadav le rabbe. We're going to say that both prices we're talking about were the master made for him the badge. V'kan v'shal matechet, v'kan v'shal tit. And the difference between them is going to be whether or not it's made out of metal or it's made out of clay. Now, if it's made out of metal, as Rashi over here explains, so that's going to be something where we're worried. We're concerned. The Chachamim were concerned. What were the Chachamim concerned about? Let's say it falls and it breaks. But it's not immaterial. I mean that over here literally. Meaning the material over here is significant. It was made out of metal. Metal was a significant commodity. And so therefore, what he's going to be tempted to do is that if it falls off of him and it breaks, so he's going to be tempted to pick up the pieces and carry the pieces in Rishus Rabin. However, if it's made out of tit, if it's made out of clay, so that is basically a worthless material. So if the badge, which is made out of clay, falls off and it breaks, so he's not going to have any temptation to want to pick it up and carry it for Amos and Rishus Rabin. Okay. And because his master told him to wear it, so while it's attached to his neck, obviously he's never going to want to take it off out of the fear that he has for his master. Good. Now, what was wrong with the first distinction? Meaning, why did the Gemara just simply sidestep that first distinction, which, truth of the matter is something that we already saw earlier in the Gemara, which is a good distinction between who told him to wear the badge. Was it his master or did he make it himself? Why did the Gemara sidestep that first distinction and move on to this distinction? So Rashi at length over here explains, but to say it simply and succinctly, the reason why is because we know that the second Braisa, the badge is made out of metal. We know that. And because we know, now later on you'll see how I say that so confidently, but we do know that. So since the second Braisa is talking about a metal badge, so now we already have built in to this idea that the second Braisa is talking about a metal badge, now we can make a distinction between the first Braisa, which is talking about a clay badge, the second Braisa talking about a metal badge. That's what motivated the Gemara, prompted the Gemara to move to this distinction as opposed to the distinction of who made the badge. And the Gemara continues over here, Kedarav Nachman, Amar Rava, Baravua, Dabar, Davar, Amakbid Alav, Rabo, and Yotzim Bo. Davar Shein Makbid Alav, Yotzim Bo. That Rav Nachman says in the name of Rava Baravua, that if it's something that a person is Makbid Alav, meaning his master is Makbid Alav, and Yotzim Bo. This is basically what we said, that if the metal badge were to fall off and break, and he knows that he can't go back to his master without at least retrieving the pieces of the metal badge, So then you can't go out with it on Shabbos because of the concern now that obviously you know your master is going to be upset. He'll be upset that you broke the badge, but he'll be even more upset that you didn't bring back the pieces. So because you know you're going to be tempted to pick up the pieces and bring it back, so you don't wear it in the first place, as opposed to something davar she'ein makbid alav, where your master doesn't care, like the badge made out of clay. It breaks. It's just clay. It's not a big deal. So therefore, you are allowed to wear it. Now, Gemara says, Hachanami mistabri midikani zevzei mekablam tuma. And now the Gemara is going to make the point, which is that we're talking about a metal badge. Meaning, Braisa number two is talking about a metal badge, and how do I know that? And now the Gemara is going to make the point that we made earlier. It has to be talking about metal. Why? Because zevzein mekablam tuma. Because look at what the Braisa taught us in Braisa number two. It's not mekabel tuma. Now, we already explained why it's not mekabel tuma. It doesn't fit into any category. But the Gemara now is going to make its point. Now, if it's made out of metal, hani hu de lo mekabli tuma, hakelim di tu mekabli tuma. In other words, if it's made out of metal, so here's the chiddush of the Braisa. This metal badge is not mekabel tuma, but any other metal utensil that has utility and functionality to it is mekabel tuma. But Eli, Amar Bishal Tip, but if we're talking about something made out of clay, Tanan, Hani Hudala Mekabli Tuma, Hakilim Didu Mekabli Tuma. So the Gemara says, now, if it's made out of clay, so you want to tell me that this badge is not going to be Mekabli Tuma, but something similar to it is Mekabli Tuma? The Gemara says, that's not true. The Hatanya, Kli Avanim, Kli Galalim, Kli Adama, In Mekabli Tuma. Anything that's made out of a raw organic material, like stones. Like, now, galalim over here probably is excrement, dried excrement. I know it doesn't sound pleasant. And clay adama, basically using earth raw in its raw state, totally unprocessed. So it's not mekabel tuma. Lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei sofrim, on any level. It's not mekabel tuma on the deraisa level, not on the derabana level. So if we're talking about something which is made out of clay, and when I say clay over here, obviously, just it's clear now from the Gemara, we mean a raw, unprocessed earth material. So it's not mekabel tuma under any circumstances. So when Bryson number two says zevzei mekabel tuma, it's not mekabel tuma. It makes it sound like only because it's a badge, it's not mekabel tuma. But the truth of the matter is, if we're talking about it being made out of clay adama, it never will be mekabel tuma. So obviously the material in question over here must be made out of metal. And the point is that because you turned it into a badge, a metal badge, it's not mekabel tuma. And again, for the reasons that Rashi said earlier, because it just simply doesn't fit into a category. It's not a tachshit, it doesn't adorn you, it's not kli tashmish, it doesn't have utility, and so therefore it's not mekabel tuma. El shma mina shma techa shma mina. So we see that Braisa number two is talking about a metal badge. Ad kan, that now we have clarity between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Braisa number one was talking about a badge that was made out of earthenware, and so therefore there does not concern you whatsoever if it were to fall and break, and therefore there is nothing that's going to motivate you to want to pick it up and carry it down. Amos Bershus Rabim. Bryson number two is talking about a metal badge. Since it's a metal badge, and you know that if it breaks, your master will be upset with you if you don't bring back the pieces to him. So therefore, you don't wear it in the first place because you will be tempted to carry it. Bershus Rabim. If in fact it breaks. Okay, we are now on Nun Ches Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud. Amar Mar Velo Bezug Shebet Savero Aval Yosehu Bezug Shebiksuso. Now we're going to go back to the bells. You wear a bell around your neck, so you cannot go out with it on Shabbos, but you can go out with bells worn on your clothing. So the Gemara says, let's see if we can understand this. Zuksha b'tzavaro, amaylo. So the Gemara says, now as far as the bells around your neck, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, doma mifstik vasili suye. So it happens to be that if you're wearing some sort of ornamental bell around your neck. Now, in terms of it producing a sound, so hold off on that thought. Probably you're thinking that right now. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. Let's assume right now that it doesn't produce any sound whatsoever. It's just ornamental. It's an accessory. And if you're wearing it around your neck, well, the concern is that it's going to fall off. And if it's going to fall off, you're obviously it has value to it. It's meaningful to you. And so therefore, you're going to end up picking it up and you'll be tempted to carry it for Amos and Rishos Arabim. So Zug Shibiksusa Nami, Lechus Dhamma Mystic Vasile Suye. So the Gemara says, if that's really concerned, so what difference does it make whether it's tied around your neck as some sort of necklace, or if it's stitched into your clothing, aren't we concerned that it's going to fall off and you're going to end up carrying it? Dalamas Bershus Rabim. So Achavam Maiskin and Demicha Bei Mumche. So the Gemara says it wasn't just stitched into your clothing; it was woven into your clothing. It was very secured into your clothing. Ukid Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua. Damar Ravuna Bered Rav Yeshua. Kol Shuva Arig Lo Gazru. anything which is woven, a gzera was not made. Hopefully that sounds familiar because we saw this line in yesterday's daf. Although admittedly, the Gemara is quoting it over here, not in the same exact context as we quoted yesterday. To recap, yesterday when we quoted this line, that anything woven is not subject to a gzera, that was talking about chatzitza, meaning that if a woven item is attached to your body, you can go into the mikvah with that item. Why? Because it's woven, it cannot be securely tightened to your skin, to your hair, and so therefore it doesn't pose a chatzitza. That's the way the Gemara quoted yesterday. Over here, as we're quoting this line, we're really quoting it in a different context. But it still doesn't mean the same thing, but it still means that if you have the bells that are woven into your garment, so because the weave is so strong and so secure, so the Chachamim did not make an exera that they were worried that the bells now are going to fall off of your clothing. Okay. Amar Mar. Lo seita behema lo bechosim shebetzavara v'lo chosim shebeksuso v'lo bezuk shebetzavara v'lo bezuk shebeksuso zevzein mekablem tumo. So we now go back to the Braisa and we are discussing within the Braisa the animals. The animals cannot go out with a badge, not around its neck, not within its clothing, cannot go out with a bell, not around its neck and not within its clothing. And in both cases, they are not mekabel tuma. The Gemara now is going to be bothered by the tuma aspect, v'zug de behema and mekabel tuma. Now, what does it mean a bell of an animal is not mekabel tuma? V'riminu, the Gemara says, I'm going to cite for you a Braisa. Zug, shel behema tumea. If I have a bell of a non-kosher animal, or v'shel delis, I'm sorry, let me do that again. I butchered that. Zug shel behema tumea. If I have a bell of an animal, it is mekabel tuma, meaning it's a kli, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. V'shel delis tahora. However, if it is a bell that is attached to the door of a house, it's going to be tahor. Rashi over here writes on the top of the Amud Beis, v'shel delis tahor, delis mechuber labayis. So the door, of course, is attached to the house. And what is the house? It's grounded. And Rashi says, shuhu chiv l'karka v'enu kli l'kabel tuma v'zug asur lo batel l'gabei. The bell that's attached to it is going to be bottle to the door, which is going to be bottle to the home, and so therefore it's grounded. Anything grounded is not mekabel tuma. So if you have a bell attached to a door, it's not mekabel tuma. If you have a bell attached to an animal is not grounded. An animal, of course, is a moving item, and so the bell is mekabel tuma. Now, obviously, already we see the problem. Here in this braisa, it is abundantly clear that a bell of an animal is mekabel tuma. But before we answer, we're going to continue and finish off the braisa. Shel delis v'asol behema. Let's say it was a bell that was affixed to a door, and then you just simply moved it over to an animal, tumea. So now it's going to be susceptible to tumah. Shel behema v'asol delis. However, if I have a bell that was hung around the neck of an animal, and then I transferred over to a door, afa pishachibu l'delis, even if I connected the door, v'kavu b'mas marim, even if I nailed it into the door, tumea. It's still going to be mekabel tumah. Why? Because, and we've gone over this idea multiple times. Just recently we went over this idea. In order for a kli to lose its status of something which is mekabel tuma, you have to do a physical change to the item. Just moving it from the animal to the door is not enough of a change. Rashi's language over here, talia lav maisahi. That just because you hung it on the door, that's not a shinui maisa. That doesn't affect a change in the item. And the Gemara says, Shekol HaKelim, Yardim Lidei Tumasan, Memachshav, Ein Olin, Midei Tumasan, Ela B'Shinui Maise. The only way that a Kli can lose its status of being Mekabel Tuma is only if there is an actual change in the item. And over here, just because you rehung it from the neck of the animal to the door, that's not a Maise. So, but anyway, good. So we finished the Braisa, and where we are now is thoroughly confused regarding a bell of an animal. Is it or is it not going to be Mekabel Tuma? Lokasha, so the Gemara says the resolution goes like this. Had islay invo, had the laislay invo. So it depends whether or not there's a clapper in the bell or there is no clapper in the bell. The Gemara says, I want to understand that better because right now I don't. Manashach. Let's think about it. Imanahi, if it defines itself as a kli, afa pika laislay invo. So then even if it doesn't have a clapper, it's a kli. And ilav manahi, and if it's not a kli, ha invo mashalay mana, putting a clapper now makes it a kli. So the Gemara's response is in. Although the Gemara said it incredulously and like couldn't believe it, but the Gemara's mechadish, no, that's exactly the point. Kedra Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. Da Amar Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan minayin lemashmeo kol bekli, mata koshu tamei. That how do I know that when a bell is producing a sound That is what gives it the status of being a Kli Shenemar. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk called Davar Asher Yavo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh. Anything that went through a fire should go through a fire. Now, as Tosfos points out over here, let's first do the drasha. Afilu Dibor Yavo Be'esh. When something is producing a sound, it therefore has the status of a Kli, and therefore it has to be kosher. Okay. Now, Tosfos points out over here that the pasuk that's being cited over here is somewhat taken out of context, because the pasuk over here has nothing to do with tumah. The pasuk has to do with hagala. It has to do with kashering a kli. What kelim need to be kasher and what kelim do not need to be kasher. And kol asher yavo be'esh, or kol davar asher yavo be'esh, tavir be'esh is just telling us the principle, the rule of kibolo kach polto, that the way that the taste goes into a kli is the way that you expunge it. So if it's something that's directly roasted over fire, you have to remove the taste through direct fire, etc., etc. The basic halachas of kashering. And so what is curious over here, says Tosfos, is how is the Gemara using this as a pasuk to source the idea that if something is producing a sound, it now has the status of kli legabi tumat tahara. Okay, so Tosfos over here, second Tosfos on the Amud, quickly deals with this issue, but you just have to be sensitive to the fact that the pasuk is in fact taken out of context, but Tosfos says, but that's fine. It doesn't change the effect or the result of the point. That when I have a bell that is used for the purposes of producing a sound, only when it has a clapper, it has the status of a kli. But when it has no clapper, it does not have the status of a kli. So, b'may ukimta. So the Gemara says, fine. So now we have made a good distinction between the Braisa, well, let's call it Braisa number two. That's where that got us started this whole discussion. And the Braisa that the Gemara quoted on the bottom of the Amud, that went into the Amud base. And that is that in Braisa number two, so we said that a bell is not Makabel Tumah. If a bell is worn by an animal, it's not Makabel Tumah. And then the Braisa on the bottom of the Amud that says that a bell is Makabel Tumah, that's talking about when it has a clapper inside and it's producing a sound. The Gemara says, fine. So, Bimayu Kimta, continuing in the Gemara. So as far as Braisa number two is concerned, so what's the Ukimta? What's the circumstance? But the Leislainval. So he says it doesn't have a clapper. Ema mitziasa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go back to that Braisa and let's reread a line of that Braisa. Velo bizug shebet savaro, aval yosehu bizug shebet suso. That you are not allowed to go out with a bell around your neck, but you are allowed to go out with a bell in your clothing. Vizevizem mekablam tumo. And the Braisa says that it is mekablam tumo. Now this is talking about bells worn by people. And it says that regarding bells worn by people, it is mekabel tumah. This is not the badge, this is the bell. The bell is mekabel tumah. And idaleis le'inval, now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We just said that Braisa number two is talking about where the bell doesn't have a clapper. And mi mekabel tumah? And the Gemara says, is it going to be mekabel tumah? If the bell does not have a clapper, is it mekabel tumah? V'riminu. And the Gemara quotes now the following Braisa, it's a Tosefta. Ha'os en zagin le'machteshes. If you make a bell for the grinder. Now, the grinder, it's kind of hard to picture, but we've seen various versions of this idea throughout Shas, is that when they ground something, they took a spice and they ground it down, so they would have bells in order to produce sound as they were grinding. And they were of the belief that producing sound while grinding is going to be effective towards the grinding. It will improve the grinding, okay? In a way that I cannot explain, but doesn't matter. That's the Gemara's assumption. Ul arisa, if I make bells for a cradle. Ul mitpachos, svarim lemitpachos tinokos. Or, you make small little bells that adorn svarim. Right? Mantles that we have in our Sifrei Torah, so many of them have bells. Ul mitpachos tinokos. Or, let's say you put the bells in for the bibs that are worn by children. Yeshlem in baltamem and lem in baltahorim. And so here the Braisa says very clearly that if it has a clapper, it's mekabel tumah. And if it does not have a clapper, it is not going to be mekabel tumah. Nitlu in belehem adayim tumah lehem. Now the Braisa just ends off with the point is that if it was a bell that originally had a clapper and it was mekabel tumah, just because the clapper fell off, it does not mean now that it's a broken item. And so therefore, it's still going to maintain its status of being mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, so basically what we have over here now is a bit of a discrepancy, in which we said that bells without clappers, that was the Braisa on Amud Aleph, right? Braisa number two. Bells without clappers, we said, is mekabel tuma. But meanwhile, the braisa that we just learned together is that bells without clapper is not mekabel tuma, and that obviously requires also a resolution. So the Gemara says, Hanimi libetinok de la kala vidalei, avagado tachshid hu le, avagado le spe inval. So the Gemara says, you have to be looking at who is the wearer of this clothing with the bells. Rashi, no, sorry, the Gemara explains. No, we're not up to Rashi yet. The Gemara explains that if these bells are worn by Ketan and by little kids, so the reason why bells are attached to the clothing of the little kids is basically, it's a tracer. It allows us to know where the kids are at any given point in time. And so therefore, the functionality of those bells is that it has to produce a sound. That's why we're attaching the bells to their clothing. And so therefore, it is only going to be mekabel tuma only when it produces a sound. On the other hand, when bells are attached to the clothing of an adult, so there it accessorizes, it's an ornament for the clothing, even if it doesn't produce a sound. Right? I know we're all thinking the Kohen had small little bells that did in fact produce a sound as he was walking, but in general, adults wearing these ornaments, these small little bells as ornaments for the clothing, so they would do so even if it didn't have a clapper. In other words, they viewed it as ornamental, as accessories, even without a clapper. So it's just a question now of who, in fact, is wearing these bells that are accessorizing the clothing. If worn by a child, it needs a clapper to be mekabel tuma. If it's worn by an adult, it does not need a clapper in order to be mekabel tuma. Amar mar nitluin v'leim adayim tomasam aleihem. Okay, and our last topic for this morning. So far, we have discussed extensively over the course of this morning this second braisa that was quoted right in the middle of Nun Chesamad Aleph, and so it engendered a lot of discussion regarding Kabbalah Satoma, bells, badges, etc., etc. We have just got done concluding that if, in fact, we had a bell, we just quoted Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that if there was a bell, and according to the Tosefta, it needs to have a clapper in order to be Mekabel Tuma, and if it did have a clapper, and it was Mekabel Tuma, and the clapper comes off, Adayin Tumasam Aleihem. It's still going to be Mekabel Tuma. And on this, the Gemara now has a follow-up question. Amar Mar. Nitluin Balem Adayin Tumas Aleihem Lamai Chazer. Let's say you had a bell, and it had a clapper, and it was Tameh, and the clapper fell out. So the Braisa said, the Tosefta just taught us, it's still Mekabel Tuma. Now, what exactly is the benefit, the usage of a bell that no longer has a clapper in it? Why would it be that it still is going to be mekabel tuma? So the Gemara is going to propose a couple of suggestions. We are going to go over the first suggestion, that of Abaye. That will take us to the bottom of our Amud. And then tomorrow we'll go with Rava's suggestion. Amar Abaye hol she'edyo yachol lachzira. So Abaye says, well, the reason why is because even though the clapper came out, it's replaceable, and anybody can replace it. You don't need to call a professional in order to replace it. You can have anybody come and replace it. And since it's so easily attachable, so therefore it's not really considered broken. Mace of Rava. Rava says, is that really true? So Rava quotes a Mishnah. The Mishnah here that is being quoted is from Parah. Hazug v'ha inval chibor. That when you're talking about the relationship between the bell and its clapper, it is considered michubar, it's considered connected. Rashi over here writes, kishehen yachad, when they are together, harehen kli echad, nitmazeh, nitmazeh. They're considered one kli, which means that if an avatama comes into contact with the bell, the clapper becomes tummy. If the avatama comes into contact with the clapper, the bell becomes tummy. The bell becomes tummy. Hiza alzeh, tahorzeh. And that works in terms of giving it tuma. It also works in terms of removing tuma. The sprinkling of the solution of the paraduma, if done on one part, will be matara the entire thing. If the mayim chaim were to be sprinkled onto the bell, the clapper becomes tahor. Conversely, if it's sprinkled on the clapper, the bell becomes tahor. The kevet dekara lechibor. Now Rashi points out over here, what did we just see together? We say that they're connected. Shmami nadechin nitz paradu have a klisha nital mitzaso. And that means to say now that because it is considered like one entity, that means that when they are in fact separated from one another, so now what we're looking at is a kli where part of it came off. The alpha gab dehedjut yacholach zero, and it's true that it could be easily put back together again. Kol kama delo ahadre lav shalem hu. That means to say that as long as it's not a whole entity, it is now currently deficient. And so what the Gemara is bothered by is this answer that was proposed by Abaye. Well, anyone can put the clapper back. That's true, anyone can put the clapper back. But the clapper and the bell, when connected, are considered one item. And so when while the clapper is detached, it's no longer considered one item. It's considered a deficient item. Now, v'chitem, we're back in the Gemara, ha'chi kamar afag abdolo mechaber, kemanda mechaber damei. And maybe you want to reread that Mishnah and Para. And maybe that Mishnah and Para, it means to teach us, is that even while detached, it's viewed as if it is already detached. The Gemara says that's not pshat. And it can't be pshat. And v'hatanya. And here we get to review a point that we saw a week and a half ago in the daf. And we get to see it again. And this is another Tosefta in Kalim. Maspar shel parakim v'yizamel shel v'hidni chibol l'toma v'in chibol l'hazam. That when I have the two blades of the scissors, and when I have the plane, that tool used by the carpenter, that's also made up of two parts, the wooden handle and the sharp metal razor. So it is considered mechuber for tumah, but it's not considered mechuber for hazah. And back on Mem Ches, it confused us, and the Gemara just reiterates the confusion. The amrina manafsha, what does that mean? It's either connected or it's not connected. Ichibur hu afil hazah. So if it's mechubar, so then that should be true even when you're sprinkling the paraduma. And v'ilo chibarhu, and if it's not connected, afilo tuma namilo, then it shouldn't be connected neither for tuma as well. The amar rava dvar Torah, and so Rava gives the explanation that we saw back on Memches, and we get to review now again today, dvar Torah b'shas malacha chibur, that while you are working with this instrument, it's considered like one unified item. Bein l'tuma bein l'hazah. And shelo b'shas malacha, and while you're not working with the item, enu chibur, lo l'tuma b'lo l'hazah. It's considered like two separate components. And so over here you have a fluid situation. While you're using the item, it's considered mechubar. While you're not using the item, it is not considered mechubar. And so the Chachamim realized that this fluidity is confusing. And so what the Chachamim did is they made a gzera. V'gazral tumah shelo b'shas malacha mishum tumah shehi b'shas malacha. So as far as being machmir by tumah, so they're going to treat it like a unified item even when I'm not using it. And on Hazaa, they're also going to be machmer. Shibishas malacha mishum Hazaa shalom b'shas malacha. So we are going to say that the Hazaa, even while you're working it, which means that it's unified, but the Chachamim said that the Hazaa is not going to work because when you're not working it, it's going to be considered disjointed. What comes out from all this over here is that we clearly see that when an item like the scissors and like the and like the plane, when they are not being used, they're considered like disconnected items. And over here, certainly, once the clapper is out of the bell, they are certainly, you're obviously not going to be using the two, they're not connected, and so therefore, halachically, there's no way we're going to look at them as connected items. And so, this proposal that was given by Abaye, well, it could easily be reattached, that may be true, but as far as halach is concerned, as long as they're disconnected, they are halachically considered disconnected. And so, we are left now with the curiosity of the Gemara, the question of the Gemara still stands, that if I have a bell and the clapper fell out, and the Braisa taught us in the middle of the Amud, that it's still going to be Mekabel Tumah, or if it was Tameh, that Tumah will still perpetuate, well, why should that be? If the bell without the clapper has lost its function and lost its utility, so therefore it should no longer be Mekabel Tumah. The kli now should be considered a broken kli, and it should no longer be mekabel tumah. Why does the Tosefta insist it's still going to be mekabel tumah? So after a valiant effort by Abaye to try to give a suggestion, the Gemara rejected, and the Gemara we're going to start with tomorrow is going to open up with a new suggestion that given by Rava. Let us quickly recap our morning. This morning, we continued our discussion regarding the kavla. The Mishnah says that the kavla is something that a woman is not allowed to go out with on Shabbos into the Rosh Hashanah. She can go out into the Chatzar, but not the Rosh Hashanah. What is the kavla? Rabbi Abau in yesterday's daf said it's talking about the wool cap that's worn under the svacha. Shmuel, where we started off the daf today, says of the opinion that the kavla is a badge worn by an eved, indicating what his status is that he was an eved. The first thing we did this morning is that we made sense of Shmuel. because Shmuel gave us mixed messages regarding whether a badge can be worn on Shabbos or cannot be worn on Shabbos. Shmuel, describing our Mishnah, says that a badge cannot be worn on Shabbos. Shmuel independently said that a badge worn around the neck can be worn on Shabbos, just not around the coat. And so how do we make sense of all that? So what we concluded this morning is that according to Shmuel, if the badge is made by his master, he is not going to be tempted to take it off. He does not want to fall out of favor with his master. If he himself puts together the badge and imposes and self-imposes himself to wear the badge, so then he would be tempted to take it off. However, when it comes to the badge on the clothing, even if his master told him to wear it on his clothing, the concern would be is that if the badge, let's say, tears off, and now the clothing is absent of the badge, he will be embarrassed walking around with that clothing. He'll end up folding up the clothing, putting on his shoulder, carrying the clothing, and that would be a malacha. That is the first part of it today. And then for the balance of today, we spent our time contrasting two brises. The first brisa said, just like Shmuel, that an Eved can go out with a chosam around his neck, a badge around his neck, and the second brisa says that an Eved cannot. And so, and the second brisa also gave us a lot more details regarding badges worn by humans, worn by animals, bells worn by human and worn by animals, and in terms of the Hilchos Shabbos and in terms of Hilchos Tum and Tahara. And so what we did over the course of this morning is, one, try to make a resolution between Brisa number one and Brisa number two. The Gemara did. Brisa number one said the Gemara was talking about a badge made out of clay, where there, if it falls and it breaks, he will not be tempted to try to pick up the pieces. It's worthless. On the other hand, if it's a badge made out of metal, so he'll be tempted to pick up the pieces, return it back to his master. And so the Chachamim, realizing this, said, don't go out with a badge at all. Not around your neck and not around your clothing. That's Brisa number two. That was the Gemara's resolution. Then, for the balance of today, the Gemara then was fixated on that second Brisa and on many of the points that were made on that second Brisa. What is the difference between a badge worn around your neck versus a badge worn around attached to the clothing? How come the badge? I'm sorry. Let me say that better. What's the difference between the bells that are tied around your neck versus the bells that are attached to the clothing? The Gemara's answer was that the bells attached to the clothing were woven into the clothing. Therefore, no concern that the bells are going to fall off. And then the Gemara discusses whether or not a bell of an animal is something which is mekabel tumah. The Braisa was of the opinion that a bell of an animal is not mekabel tumah. On the other hand, the Braisa that was on the very bottom of the Amud Aleph, going into the Amud Beis, a bell worn by an animal is mekabel tumah. And the response to that is that it depends whether it has a clapper or does not have a clapper. If the bell has a clapper, it's mekabel tumah. If the bell does not have a clapper, it's not mekabel tumah. And then the Gemara, in the last point that we discussed today, goes into the question of, if we're talking about a bell that had a clapper and that broke off, so the Braisa said on the Amud Beis that this bell is still going to be mekabel tumah, or better stated, the bell is still going to be tameh, meaning if the bell with the clapper becomes tameh and then the clapper falls off, the bell is still tameh. Why should that be? It's a broken item. So the Gemara attempted to give an answer. The Gemara was unhappy with that. The Gemara tomorrow will give us its preferred answer.